Hey everyone, it's Nelly here. How you doing? Oh, I'm so excited. Today we are joined by one of my favourites, the one and only comedian Tom Ballard, who is back for Sloppy Seconds. And geez, we have a great time. He is coming in hot and fully potentched. And if you listen right through, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. Now, I'm going to be honest with you about something. It's not dire, but the sound quality on this episode is not as good as usual. I must stress that that is not producer Sammy's fault. There was nothing he could do about it. This was a problem with the Zoom recording with Tom and I. It just means that Tom is a little bit more faint than I am. You can still hear everything, but the sound quality is not quite there. Now, can I offer this as an incentive? I have some goss for you. Yes, I am dating again. I went back on the apps. Tom and I talk about that. I've met a lovely sweetheart. We get into that. So if you want a little bit of goss on my personal life, then you will persist, even with a little bit of a sound problem. Now, we do some other wonderful things. We talk about Tom's lovely partnership. We talk about what it's like to be on the apps. We talk about actions over words. Tom coins a fantastic phrase, which I'm going to use from now on, called being an emotional verse. We take a fantastic call. It is a return call from the lovely woman who talked about weaponized incompetence and struggling with getting some sense of equality in her relationship with her partner. We get into that, and we take a fascinating letter actually from a guy in his early 50s who says he's looking for a relationship but has trouble sticking with it. In other words, he really likes the thrill of the chase. So Tom and I have a discussion about, you know, longevity versus chase versus thrills versus all of that kind of stuff, which is very pertinent for many of us. So yes, sound not 100%, I reckon about 80%, still worth listening to, and I love your guts, and if you want the goss, you'll stick around. Love yous, bye.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Hey everyone, how you going? It's Nelly here. Happy New Year to you. Don't know where that came from. Hey, we at the Dear Nelly team hope 2024 is full of love and adventure and rest and all the things, whatever that looks like for you. And thank you again for your continued support for this funny little podcast. Now, we've got some very exciting news. We have another live show coming up. This one is on Thursday, the 8th of February at the Malthouse Outdoors at the iconic Malthouse Theatre in Melbourne as part of their annual podcast season, where they showcase the best podcasts around. I am thrilled to confirm that the lineup includes me, obviously, hosting. We also have comedian, author and broadcaster Sammy Shah. Jesus, he's funny. He's so great on radio. He's so great at all the things. Some of you may know him from The Australian Story on ABC, which featured the incredible tale of him and his now wife, academic Kylie Moore Gilbert, who was sentenced to 10 years in an Iranian prison, but thankfully made it home. What a love story. We also have comedian and Dear Nelly favourite, the incomparable Kirsty Wiebeck, who also happens to be one of my strawberriest of strawberry friends, and I know you all adore her. And last but not least, oh my God, we have comedian and actor Lizzie Hu. Lizzie bloody Hu. She's on all the comedy specials, on all the streaming services, and no doubt she's one of the hottest bloody comedians going around. Now, I mean hot as in popular, but you know, you go with whatever. So look, I urge you to get in and book tickets via the Malthouse website or my website at nellythomas.com. And of course, there are links in the show notes. A couple of other quick reminders, keep your calls coming. If you can, join Patreon or Acast Plus for $5 a month for bonus episodes and other rewards. This year, paid subscribers will get live Zoom events with me throughout the year where we can do Q&As and interact. Now, this podcast was recorded in the council area known as Darabin in Melbourne. I would like to acknowledge the traditional owners of the land, the Wurundjeri peoples of the Kulin Nation, and pay my respects to their elders past, present, and emerging. Last but not least, some things don't change, Moles. This is a sex, dating, and relationships podcast for adults. If you don't like swearing, it's really going to give you the shit, so off your
fuck. Dear Nelly, I could use some advice, dear Nelly. Yeah, some help would be nice, dear Nelly. I'm eager to hear your point of view, dear Nelly. There's a lot to explore, dear Nelly. When you're 40 or more, dear Nelly. So I'm hoping we can talk it through.
Welcome to Dear Nelly, Sex, Relationships and Dating from the Other Side of 40. And we are back with Sloppy Seconds with the one and only Tom Ballard. Are you happy, Tom, to be introduced as a Sloppy Second?
Knowing that it's, you know, a tradition in the podcast and it's not just for me, then I will accept it and it's okay. As long as other people have been Sloppy Seconds, I will also be Sloppy Second.
They have.
What was Sloppy Seconds when you were growing up? It was dating. If someone dated someone after you, that person was your Sloppy Seconds, or you got my Sloppy Seconds?
Well, do you want to hear the most literal and misogynist version of it, which is what I grew up with?
Yes, of course.
Which is the idea that a woman had semen inside her already.
Yes.
So therefore she was sloppy, in inverted commas.
Yes.
So that if she then fucked one of your friends or whatever, that she was sloppy seconds. It was very rarely, in my recollection, used, like most of those terms, like slut or whatever, very rarely applied to men.
Oh, that's weird.
Yeah, isn't it?
It's strange.
Unusual. So we are reclaiming it.
Yes.
In the positivo.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So what's your news, Sloppy?
Sloppy Second news. Gosh, what is my news? It's 2024. New year, new me. I'm trying to do 2024 sober. No booze.
For the year?
Probably. For the whole year. Yeah, I'm going for the whole 12 months. This is my crazy.
All right, tell me, what prompted this?
a litany of hangovers and come downs and regrettable decisions.
Yeah.
And a desire to get shit done, not in a, you know, gross, you know, fucking capitalist productive kind of vibe. Like literally just, I want a clearer mind to focus on the things that I really want to do. I'd like to be healthier. I'd like to investigate as to whether I can have a great social life without consuming alcohol and drugs.
Yeah.
And would like to maybe lose a smidge bit of weight and actually keep it off. Sometimes I'll have a good run health-wise and then I'll have a big weekend and it's all.
And then it's gone. Well, I mean, I think a few things. One, you can absolutely have a social life without booze because I do it all the time.
Yes.
And I am the life of the party, Tom.
Absolutely. Yes.
I reckon it takes an adjustment.
Yeah.
And I think if you go in with a plan, like if you're going to a bar that you usually go to or a function or something, I reckon don't wing it. Like go with a thing in mind, like I'm going to drink this particular mocktail or this you know, booze-free beer or water, or it doesn't matter what it is really, but if you wing it, I think you're more likely to go, oh, might just have a wine.
Come on. Yeah,
do you drive?
That's good advice. I can drive, but I don't have a car, no. So that's, so I'm not even a designated driver. I'm on my bike a lot. I don't know. I'm pretty good these days at being like, I'm going home, everyone.
Yeah.
You're all great and I love you, but
I'm out.
My wall. I'm out. So I'm going to, and I try to do that in not a rude way.
Yeah.
It's the boredom drinking, I think, that it will be the key. That will be the difficult one.
Yes.
A little bit bored or the reward system as well.
Yes.
Even I did two shows early in the new year in Fish Creek, and as soon as I came off stage, my body was like,
Yeah.
beer time.
Yeah.
You
Yeah.
deserve a treat. You just finished yelling at people for an
Oh,
hour.
it's not just the treat, it's that, performing is it requires a shot of adrenaline.
Yes, right.
And the alcohol, levels that out a little bit. Then you don't sleep and you're anxious the next day, but you're not thinking of that in the half an hour after the show.
Sure.
Well, good luck to you. I think it's you're younger than most of my friends, but I've got a lot of friends who are doing that because by my age, that shit starts to really bite.
I
Like you
think,
can get
yeah.
away with it for a long time, and then there's a point at which you simply cannot.
Yeah, and I feel like I've been, having a pretty good time pretty solidly since I was 17,
Yeah.
and I was particularly to massively excess in my 20s. So why don't mix it up? Try a
Yeah.
year without it. And
Ah.
I realized I chose the year of a US federal election. In November, if Trump gets back in, maybe that's my only little get out of
That's
jail
your
free
out.
card. Yeah, if Trump
You
gets
know
back in,
what?
I get
I'll
to
pay
surround
that.
myself.
Yeah, I will pay that. I think there'll be clear. Do you know what? That's like COVID. Drinking didn't count. Like
Yeah, that's
calories
true.
and alcohol did not count in lockdowns. If Trump is back in the presidency, I think that's fair enough. I will personally bring you a drink over if that happens.
Personally, you
Now,
must be
let's
ready.
recap your last episode. So you had been single in most of your 20s and you're now dating. Do you say dating, relationship? What's your terminology?
Yeah, with a long-term relationship. It's the longest relationship I've ever had. It'll be 4 years in March with my beautiful circus acrobat boyfriend, Harley. Yes.
And Harley lives in another state.
He lives in far north Queensland. Yes, indeed.
So you two are long distance and long term.
Long distance, long term. Yeah, we met just at the start of lockdown. We were both living in Melbourne, so we went directly into lockdown almost
Yeah.
straight away at the start of during the honeymoon period. So it was a very intense
Yeah.
love period, and then eventually got this job and moved to Queensland. And because he's a performer, I'm a performer. It is remarkable. Last year, particularly, we spent a huge amount of time together, considering the fact that we're in opposite ends of the country. We'll be in Edinburgh together. He's down to Melbourne a lot. I went up to Cairns for stretches and stuff. So thus far, we are being able to make it work. Yeah.
And how do you find like the long distance? Like, what's the benefits? Like, what's the pluses and minuses?
Well, I have to say, like, I'm a pretty independent person. I'm pretty fine on myself, fine by myself. So the stretches of time in which he is not here, and which I am able to sort of just focus and get some shit done, I do appreciate.
Yeah.
It means that when you do see that person, you sort of get really excited, and that's nice.
Yes.
It sort of keeps the magic alive somewhat.
Yeah.
Absence makes the heart grow fonder, et cetera, et
I mean,
cetera.
we say that, Tom, but that's why I asked you, are you actually finding that? Because I can imagine that I've only done one long distance thing, but it was pretty short term. But I thought I can see the benefits of this because when you
Yep.
see each other, you're so excited.
Yes.
And is
Yeah.
that still happening 4 years in?
I think so. Yeah, seriously. Like, and but maybe 3 or 4 weeks, I'm probably totally fine. And then once we cross that barrier, it's sort of like, oh, I really am missing him and would like him to have a re be around. And so when he arrives, it's like quite an exciting deal. That's very nice.
Yeah.
And our lives, we're still childless young gay dudes, so we
Yeah.
don't it's not like there are massive things we need to be working on together. If you had a children, for example, a long
Yeah.
distance would be an absolute nightmare, I reckon.
Having said that, I wonder on the other end of that, that could make it harder because you've got more time on your hands. One of the reasons I kind of like long distance is because I couldn't ruminate going, oh, I miss you and that, because I'm too fucking busy. I'm not suggesting that you're not busy, but when you have multiple demands on you, it's kind of convenient.
Yeah, right. Yeah, no, I managed to fill my days. I'd just sit around in a corner crying and jerking off.
See, I would be like, I'd get to the evening, I reckon, if I was single and didn't have kids, and I'd be like, oh, even though I'm really independent and I really like doing things on my own, I could imagine I could also spiral rattling around in my own head.
Yeah, I guess, yeah, the bits, and this hasn't happened as yet, really, but when there's like an emotional crisis of some kind. Well, I
Yes.
mean, last year our beautiful friend Cal Wilson passed away, and
Yeah.
that was horrific, and I wasn't in the same physical space
Yes.
as my boyfriend. So when there's bad shit come up, obviously,
Yes.
yeah, always having someone to
He wasn't there for a
have a
cuddle.
Yeah, no cuddles at that particular time. There were lady cuddles, so it was good. But yes, I mean, yeah, ups and downs. The reduced amount of sex is a factor, I suppose.
Sure.
But then you got to make up for it when
I was
it's
gonna say, I mean, when we say magic, is that what we're, 'cause I mean, again, we sort of don't talk about this stuff, I think, enough. It's like familiarity can breed boredom.
Sure.
And not just between, not just in conversation, but it can be sexually as well. That's the truth. I mean, people sort of say that when they get out of their relationship, it's kind of taboo to say it when you're in it. But I imagine, having long break, like the desire building is good.
Yeah, totally.
I guess there's a point at which it's too long of a wait,
Yes.
but you just deal with that. I mean, you've got text, you've got FaceTime, you've got a whole range of things at your disposal.
Modern technology allows us to be sick little fucks in a variety of different ways. So yeah, great.
Well, you two are the only ones who are doing anything via the internet. Being sloppy seconds, and I hate this, and I'm trying to rush over it very quickly, but you get to ask me a question. Go.
Oh, why do you hate being asked questions? That's my question.
I don't, well, I do and I don't. I think it's the reason I do it is because I can't ask people like you and my co-host to be vulnerable and not do the same. But vulnerability is hard
That's true.
because I don't know what you're going to ask.
Oh, I could ask anything. I was going to ask you, and forgive me if this is potentially ground that you've covered on the show before, but I was interested in what would you say is the lesson that you find yourself having to learn repeatedly
Oh.
throughout life? The thing that keeps coming up again and again, and you're like, fuck, I thought I did this, but no, I've fallen back into the trap again, and I can happily share mine with you if you want, need a little bit of time to think.
Oh, I
But
know exactly what it is, but please tell me yours.
well, mine was just going to be caring about what other people think about you, which is perhaps a lifelong struggle. But I mean, I will have moments in which I just feel fully myself. I feel proud of myself. I feel like I'm on it. I'm totally get it. And I don't care what anyone thinks. And then a single comment on the internet or a single, not even a comment, just someone else being happy somewhere else will make me go into a spiral into my own
Spiral.
head. And this desire and the thin line between not caring what other people think and not being an asshole and not caring about having any consideration for other people. This is a constant struggle I find myself
Constant
in.
struggle. Well, I reckon if the only people who literally, you hear people say all the time, I don't care what anyone else thinks. The only person to whom that is actually true is a complete sociopath.
Yes, indeed.
Right? So you are not and never going to be a complete sociopath. It's a matter of degree, right? You don't want to care about what people think to the extent that it debilitates you or it changes your personality or your choices. But to me, if you didn't care at all about what anyone thought, you would never be reflecting and you'd have no insight.
Yes.
So
Which is
it
so
is.
interesting creatively too, right? Because a
Yes.
comedian has to be like, I don't give a fuck what anyone thinks. Ugh,
Yeah.
why isn't anyone laughing at my joke? You're all
Yeah.
woke or whatever. Like
Yeah.
it's so interesting that duality of a comedian being like, yeah, fuck it, I just say it like it is. But of course you're constantly listening to an audience and you have to abandon any joke that doesn't get laughs and you're constantly adapting your act and shaping it in a way in which it's a communication between you and other people. So
And
yeah.
Tom, you know this. The comedians who say that are full of shit, right?
Yes.
Have been around that long enough. There's some to whom it affects more than others,
Yeah.
and that's the best that you can hope for. I feel like speaking of dearly departed friends, our mutual friend, the late great Stella Young, had a tattoo on her arm that was from a very prominent disability activist poet that said, "Pride takes practice."
Right.
And that is the sort of mantra that I try and use when I'm feeling like that. So, and I will say the good news is the older you get, you really do give less of a fuck.
Yes,
You
yes.
give more of a fuck about specific people. Like, I really care what my kids think about me. I really care what close friends think about me. Or, like, there's people for whom that feedback matters. But then there's others where you just go, I don't even respect you. Like when you think, let's think of like a, I don't know, for you and I, let's think like a homophobic family member. Yeah, hang on. Why am I seeking your approval?
Why do I care?
You're a bigoted asshole, let alone some stranger on the internet.
Yeah.
So I don't think it's about not caring. I think it's about where you place that energy.
Yeah.
Like, who do you care about? And in terms of the pride takes practice, that means you don't seek out strangers on the internet, for example, because that's not practicing pride in your work or who you are.
Yeah.
You know, does that make sense?
Well, totally, yes. I mean, I was trying to write some stand-up about this recently, actually. But the idea that we post clips, I'm posting clips a lot more now, as all comedians are. This is now apparently part of our fucking job, apparently.
Yes.
Write the hilarious material. We now need to post it and please the fucking algorithm. Anyway.
Yeah.
So that you're constantly putting out this material, constantly putting yourself out there, where there's literally a comment function, and you're saying, hey, everyone, here's my comedy.
Yes.
In theory, I guess I'm endorsing the idea of you expressing your opinion about my work. Then they do that, and I go, fuck this asshole.
Bah,
get involved. Yeah.
Well, let me ask you this, though. Do you have to read them?
I don't have to. No, that's true.
Listen to you. I don't have to. I just do it obsessively. Because I'm at that point, I don't read them.
Yeah, great.
So that took a lot of work to get to not do that. But I think you make a choice. Maybe if you're feeling particularly low, then just remember that thing of like, no, I don't need to feed this.
Yeah.
Like if you're a bit more robust, every now and then I'll go in and look at the reviews of the podcast, for example. Like I read one this morning, like 1 star, did a welcome to country, virtue signaling. And I'm like, I just thought it was hilarious. I'm like, why did you go to the trouble of even leaving that review? It didn't bother me at all, but there would have been other times it would have bothered me, you know. So it sort of depends. You got to assess how you're feeling, I think. I mean, I think my biggest advice to you would be only seek out the opinion of people you respect. And then that does matter and reflect. Like if someone goes, Tom, I think a bit concerned about your behavior, blah, blah, and you really like that person, you know they love you, then don't also just go, oh, well, fuck off. Like it's none of your business, because they might be trying to help. Doesn't mean they're right, but you'd at least reflect on it.
Mm.
But someone you don't like, oh, fuck off. No way.
Move on.
Yeah.
Go on. What's your lesson that you...
So my lesson, have I finally learned it? I'm definitely closer. And I've been trying to learn this lesson for literally decades. I saw some meme or something the other day that's a dating thing. It's like I can't be attempting to start something with someone who's got potential. They need to be fully potenched.
As in the relationship has potential or them as a person, you're saying?
I think both.
Yeah,
I think, but mostly them as a person. So I think the my particular pathology, which is also probably the best thing about me, like most of us, our best quality is our weakness.
Yes.
I really do see the best in people, and I try to see the best in people, and I like to live in the world like that.
Yes.
The problem with that is that you can see the potential in a dating match and they've got to do a shitload of work to reach that potential.
Yes.
And I think kind of like if I love them enough or if I'm encouraging enough or if I'm whatever, as though I've got some control over how other people exist in the world. So I think previously I've definitely been in relationships and friendships as well and stayed in relationships and friendships that I shouldn't have, thinking, but I can see that they could be. And that doesn't mean I'm kind of black and white now, like you've got to be fully evolved. Like we've all got our shit. But I think particularly for dating, it's a real mistake to kind of go, well, if they do X, they'll be compatible with me. Take them as they are today.
Right.
Because you've got no idea if they're going to change or you're going to change.
I'm coming in hot. I'm coming into B'nai Brown, your life. And everything's going to turn around.
Oh, my God. Well, do you know what? So this is revealing far too much, but, you know, that's the point of this question. When I was talking to my therapist about it, she's like, you're really comfortable in a kind of therapeutic role yourself.
Yeah, okay.
And that keeps you safe. Because if I'm, like, trying to change you, Tom, or help you or look after you, then I don't have to reveal my shit. And she's like, you got to stop doing that. So I'm very consciously really trying hard not to do that. And not just romantically, I mean, across the board.
Mm.
But it's really hard when you've been in that mode your whole life. You know, I'm nearly 50, mate.
Yes.
I've been doing this a long time, but I'm trying.
And that means, okay, right. But that is what I mean, being open up to asking for help from, or I guess you're trying to find a partner who you feel confident will give you the help and the care that you need when you need it. Kind of will be you unlocking their potential and helping.
Correct. And say, and friendships as well. So it's about kind of, yes, being able to ask for help. I think I've kind of gotten a lot better at that. But the problem, I think, when you're, and I reckon a lot of women my age have done this, we've been so trained out of having needs that even when we ask for help, it sounds like we're okay.
Mm.
So you go, hey, Tom, I'm really having a hard time. I need some help. But because I say it like that, you go, oh, no worries, Nelly. Yep. You know, like it's sort of dissociated.
Right.
It doesn't match. What you're asking doesn't match your affect. And so people don't necessarily read it and they think you're okay all the time. But the other part of it is just not immediately rescuing, you know. So if you say to me, oh, I'm having trouble finding a rental, seriously, my instinct is I'll find you one.
Yes.
I'll do that for you. Like I want to fix it.
Yep.
And that's not good for you or me.
Yeah.
So I'm trying really hard, really, really hard. But I will say, I think you'd be proud. I did start, when I started, so after Cal's funeral, I decided I would go back into dating. Fucking hell. So at beautiful Cal's funeral, I thought, I mean, could there be any more of a reminder?
Not the next day,
of,
I hope you gave yourself a little bit of...
No, I didn't, literally that night.
Oh, my God. Okay.
Literally that night. So he'd had the private funeral, then we had the public one that I spoke at, and I spoke about, you know, how proud she was of me. Mm. And I don't know, it unlocked something for me, to be honest. Mm. I'd kind of gone, I'm out. I can't do this bloody dating thing again. I'm no good at it. The stuff that we all do, I'm damaged goods, you know, at its most extreme, which is a horrible expression, but it does sort of convey how you feel in that state. And I thought two things. One, I could die tomorrow.
Yeah.
And two, well, I'm not damaged goods to her.
No.
So maybe I'm not for everyone else. You know what I mean? Like it's sort of, so anyway, the short story is I got home. I may have had a few drinks at the wake. Don't judge me, Tom. I don't like
it. No judgment. Hey, I was with you. Don't you worry about that.
So I put my profile up, and this is where, like, I don't believe in anything, and I know you don't either, but this challenges me, right? Because it's, you know, the universe and all that shit. Cal and I, about a month before she'd gone into hospital, made a list of what I should look for. And the top of that list was actions over words, right? So someone who shows care and love and interest and all those things rather than just talks about it. So I get home, I made the profile, I matched with someone a couple of days later. She was great, we're chatting and everything, and I'm like, this is great. And then it's like, we're supposed to meet on the Friday. So the first example of actions was I went, I'm available this Friday. And she messaged me back, went, great, I've booked this place at 6 o'clock. And I'm like, effort.
Hello.
Hello. Like I've got a lot of mental load. So even the fact that she kind of went, I'll take the reins here.
Yeah.
No worries. I've booked this place. We have, I think I've been really conscious of kind of going, what are you doing?
Mm.
Not what are you saying? And something like that. So our first date, for example, she showed up with flowers and 3 bottles of gin because I'd casually mentioned I like gin.
3 bottles?
Well, not 3 bottles, 3 types, like little, like a little selection. Although that would have been a good night. just stuff like that where I'm like, I'm not asking for a fucking diamond necklace, but I'm at the fact that you remembered from our chat, from mm-hmm. texting, that I mentioned my drink of choice is this and that you know, that kind of stuff, like that showing up.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and the beautiful thing about a healthy relationship, I find, which I have this, I think, with my boyfriend, is that that goes back and forth, right? So,
yes.
You know, sometimes you've got, yeah, sometimes you're not doing great. I'll look after
Yes.
you. No worries at all. That's all kind. But just knowing that that will come back and we can reverse
Yes.
and I can be a bit shit for a little bit and you've got my back.
100%.
That's a nice thing.
That's the thing. It's not that I'm seeking that one way. It's just that I have, so, and I've created this. I'm not blaming anybody. I have created this myself, where that kind of giving dynamic is all me giving. And I have to like deliberately, basically, I'm looking for someone who's a giver as well, like two givers together. Is the jackpot. And I think, I mean, I
I'm
think
verse,
I,
so you know it's
what's that?
I just said I'm verse, so I give and
Yeah.
receive, but yeah. But you
I'm
know
looking for an emotional verse. Right.
you're an emotional Tom.
I'm sick of being the power top, Tom. I've had enough. It's Nellie's time. Happy to step into that role when required. How about a bit of reciprocity?
Double-ended
Oh,
emotional support. Yeah, please.
you know, and I think, yes, I think I may have found it.
That's awesome, Nellie. I'm very happy for you.
Yeah,
That's
happy
great. And I know that
day.
Cal would be very happy for you too. That's awesome.
Do you know, like I was, so I'm telling, like I said, I struggle with this stuff because I don't believe in anything. And yet, of course, I tell a couple of my friends who are more, you know, into tarot or the universe or all that kind of stuff. It's like, Cal's arranged this. And you know what? I think to myself, that's a nice way to frame it.
Sure, let's take that.
You know, I'll
Yeah.
take it. I'll take it because it's really sweet and it is unexpected. And there's a lot of coincidences in it. It's not going to hurt anyone if we all believe that. So I'll take it.
Take it.
Does that answer your question?
It does. Thank you very much. Thanks for
I
being
think this
vulnerable and opening
lady,
yourself up. Yeah.
I think she might be fully potenched. We'll see go. All right, armchair expert, I have a meme for you. From Instagram, from Sarah K. Runnels. She is at OMGSKR. Does that stand for something I should know? Oh my God.
It's oh my God, and then her initials, I assume, SKR.
Oh, I'm Oh, I have an interpreter from the late 2000s.
You do, sorry.
So she has. Now, you're not on the dating apps at the moment, I don't think, or I shouldn't be making that assumption, but I don't think you are.
I'm not, no.
When you were though, let's both take ourselves back to that. So dating apps Wrapped would be like you swipe left 100,000 times, you swipe right 25 times, you shut the app in disgust a lot, you took 800 screenshots of comically bad profiles, you saw 50,000 unsolicited fish pics, you successfully eliminated every single man in a 90-mile radius. How does that sound? Does that square with your experience of online dating?
That sounds pretty similar. Does she mean unsolicited fish pics? Like literally, as in like the dudes holding fishes, right? Straight. This is which you'll find much more in the straight man world. The idea of holding up the fish or with the girl
Much more.
or the lion or what have you. Yeah, gay men are
Much
not.
more.
Maybe
Dead
there are some gay men out
animals.
there posing with fish. Yes, okay, they love
Yeah.
that.
Are there any gay dudes on the apps holding dead stuff?
I
There
don't.
must be some.
There must be some, surely. Yes, I'm sure there are men who love sucking cock and killing beautiful creatures. I'm sure that they must be out there. I'm not
Which
interested in them. Thank you very much.
attracts all the vegetarians. Excellent. But I think she speaks to something, you know, that experience of, I think particularly when you first do it, I don't know about you, but you start off very fussy. You know?
Sure,
No,
right.
no, 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 no. It's like after a while, perhaps go, oh, okay. Maybe I'll revisit some of those
Let's
swipes.
lower that bar, people. Yeah, let's bring it down.
Yes.
I must say, my dating app life, I didn't spend a lot of time on Tinder, or at least I didn't find Tinder very engaging. Often dudes would not message back to me
Yeah.
on Tinder, or they would, and you'd have a conversation and then nothing.
Yeah.
Now, Grindr, you do get some dates out of Grindr every now and
Yeah.
again, but Grindr is much more in the sort of a somewhat immediate hookup world.
Yeah.
And I suppose the equivalent of just messaging, hey, how you going? Hey, what's
Yeah.
up? Hey, and
Yeah.
getting nothing back. That's probably pretty similar.
Pen pals.
Yes. And I must say, Grindr has produced some extraordinary comedy material.
I
Like
bet.
people on Twitter will post snapshots of their grinding conversations. I remember one recently was a guy. A guy got messaged by another guy. He was like, "You just cut me off in traffic. You absolute piece of shit. Can you even learn how to drive? You're the fucking worst." And then the guy whose profile was, "I'm sorry, I'm just really bad at driving." And then the next message was, "All right, do you want to make it up to me? Come over and suck my dick." Like,
God.
The quick switch that gay men will make from
Jesus.
Chat to, "Let's talk about having sex, please.
What an asshole. Come over."
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
you suck. I hate you. Anyway,
wow. You suck. How about you suck something else? I think, look, it's so you've been on Tinder and Grindr. Any others?
I think that's it. Maybe I briefly looked at one of the others that was the gay man. Bumble's just for ladies, right? Or Hinge is just for ladies?
No, Bumble, like you can't, women basically initiate matches on Bumble.
Gotcha.
But yep. I think all of them, I mean, there's a couple, like there's her, there's some that are like women specific, but it's mostly queer women.
Sure.
I met this recent match, so I was talking about Linda on Hinge.
Okay.
And I quite liked Hinge. I thought that was good. I found Tinder a little bit too, exactly what you were saying. Hey, hey,
hey.
I reckon there's a lot of people on Tinder window shopping.
Well, I think, the clarity, I mean, the thing I will appreciate from Grindr is the clarity of purpose, generally speaking, from most people. I mean, so every now and again, you get a Grindr profile, they're like, not looking for sex, just looking to make friends or for dates and stuff. And I'm always a bit like, oh, honey.
Oh, bub.
But if that works out for them, that's great. I mean, I've been to a few gay weddings and they're like, how did you meet? Grindr. So, yes, the clarity
of purpose. I know a few men who've met on Grindr. I do know a few men who've met on Grindr, but I agree with what you're saying. Like there is a sort of, there's a known purpose.
Yes.
Whereas I think Tinder, it's a bit gray area. A
bit all over the place. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Are you looking for right now or are you looking for forever?
Well, and I think sometimes if you're window shopping, and by that I mean you like the titillation, you might even be married or you're got no intention of meeting up for whatever reason, you're not going to advertise that.
Yeah.
You're going to say, I'm looking for the love of my life. And you're going to lie.
Yes.
Basically. And, or there's a whole range of people, I think, who, I don't know, let's say you and I matched and we were messaging each other, but then I found someone else and I might just go.
Yes.
And then you're like, oh, did I just get ghosted? Yeah. I guess in a way you did, but in another way, I'm sort of like, it's just part of the apps.
It's part of that culture. It's pretty brutal. It's interesting. I'm directing Lizzie Hu's show this year. Part of the show, Lizzie Hu, the wonderful Lizzie Hu. And she's got this great bit. She's talking about, she's back in the dating scene now, coming out of a long-term relationship. But she talks about her parents' experience. Now, her dad is a Malaysian dude who met her white mother when she was backpacking through Malaysia in the 80s or 70s, I want to say.
Yeah.
Could not be more different people, I suppose. And she just sort of makes a very good point that in the dating world, they would have filtered each other out. It's like something what they're looking for.
Yeah.
Through the magic of IRL and love and destiny, they came together and seemed to have a somewhat happy marriage.
Yes. I don't
know, based on some of the stories from Lizzie. Sounds like
Everyone's pretty got some shit, right?
Yeah.
So two things in that. Lizzie, who will be one of the stars of our live show at the Mould House on the 9th of February. Please book tickets and come. but the other thing is, this is the other thing when I get listener calls asking for advice on dating, as particularly online dating. And I'd say this because I've made this mistake. Don't be too fussy.
Yeah.
Based on pictures particularly, but also even in terms of I don't know, the job that they do or whatever, like things that whether consciously or unconsciously, we sort of write people off and go, oh, she's a bit short for me, or he doesn't work in an area.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
That I understand or whatever, because that in real life experience can be completely different. If you've got chemistry, how fucking short someone is won't matter.
Yeah.
If you've got good bants and rapport and they're funny and you're flirty and all that, and conversely, You can have someone who's perfect on paper who you want to tunnel out of that date with a spoon, you're so bored.
And the number of times, speaking of lessons that you need to learn a million times, like the number of times I've met someone who blows apart all my prejudices about
Yeah,
that kind of person,
me
whether
too.
they're like a person who loves sport but also loves theater, or they're a banker but
Yes.
they're not a piece of shit. You know, like the number
Yes.
of times that that blows your mind, and I can find that very attractive. I've been on dates with people
Yes.
where I'm like, man, I just want to learn more about your life because you don't
Yes.
make sense in all my preconceived ideas, notions. So you can
Yeah.
leave me out on that if you get too
I
fascinated.
don't want to date myself.
No.
You know
Well,
what I
Lizzie has a
mean?
joke. She says, "What are we trying to date a sibling? Why are we trying
Yes.
to narrow things down so much to find our exact match? Why do we want to meet
Yes.
someone who's out of their fucking mind and miles away from us?"
Correct. So, I mean, I'm very conscious of privacy, which is why I'm sort of editing in my head, but I don't think Linda, who I'm dating now, would mind me saying, like, she's really into sport. And I'm talking, would sit for a 5-day test match into sport, right? I would watch the Australian Open Grand Final and maybe the AFL Grand Final if there were pies available. That's like my 12-month consumption of sport. But
Right.
I actually go, I really like then that we have something to talk about that I don't know about,
Yes.
you know, or that you find interesting and vice versa. Like, I think that doesn't have to be a negative, but it can be if you're filtering for that. If you see someone, let's say you see someone in a picture, like, I don't know, a Collingwood jersey on their profile or something, you go, oh, I'm not into sport. Don't write that person off unless there's other reasons. Like, don't let that be the decider, because they might actually be really interesting, fascinating. You might even get into talking about it. Broaden your horizons. Even the fish, Tom. I mean, we joke about it, but I do think it's a bit overplayed. Like, if the guy's only got fish, fair enough. But if one of his pictures is holding a fish, maybe he just likes fishing.
Fishing, there's nothing wrong with that. Yeah.
Got Brennan's take on this, which I loved, was him going, straight guys don't take photos. That's the only time they've got photos. They're on the tinny with a friend, and that's the only photos they've got. They're not trying to signal, I'm doing a bloody cultural studies thesis into why they chose that picture. He's like, they haven't got any photos, mate. Simple as that.
Probably a bunch of straight dudes with photos of them with their ex-girlfriends on their dating profile because they're
Oh,
like, it's the
don't.
only photo I got. It's the only one I look good in.
Do you know what? We actually see ones where the guy's like cropped his wedding photo.
Brilliant.
You can see the tulle of the dress at the bottom. You're like, but I look good in a suit. Yeah, it was 10 years ago and it was your
Paid heaps.
wedding.
I paid heaps for that guy to take that photo.
Yeah, that's right. It's my professional photos. All right. Are you ready for a listener call?
Let's do it, baby.
Hi, Nellie. I just wanted to let you know I just listened to that podcast and it was amazing. And the podcast with Alice about my question about my husband. I just wanted to just to send a follow-up with an update. First and foremost, I'm an over-communicator. So everything I've said to you, I have said to him. I don't wear any feelings on the inside. They're all on the outside. And it's actually one of my most proud skills is how I communicate. It's still the problem is in you. I'm still having the problem, which is I think where my frustration was, because it's like I over communicate and I still have this problem. So that was never a problem, you know, for others because they just don't tell their husbands, but my husband knows. One of the key things that has changed is I have really, in many ways, tapped out of the teenage boys. So my 8-year-old stepdaughter is just spectacular. Love her. We spend a lot of time together. I organize a lot of stuff for her. And that really works for both of us. She and my baby love each other. She and I get along really well. So pretty much now I've said to my husband, I'm going to organize me, my daughter, and my son. And we're going to have a great time. And you and the boys, the older boys, it's up to you what you do. I'm, except for feeding them, I'm really tapping out of organizing or managing your relationship with them. It's quite challenging at the moment. Their relationship, just being teenagers, and there's a whole bunch of problems. And they're absolutely delightful as far as they have never disrespected me being rude, but they also just don't want to spend time with me, which I respect. So I really have just said, you know what? Myself, the baby, and the girl are going to get on with our lives. We're going to go and do the things we love. I love spending time with her. You know, I've got lots of friends with kids her age, so she spends time with them. And that has really helped me as far as my mental load, and also certainly given him the need for responsibility for the boys. And if he wants to manage their relationship, that's up to him. That has absolutely helped. Also, I'm going back to work in 3 weeks and he will be home full time, and that is going to change everything. So I think there's also a part of me that really needs to let go as far as my people pleasing and a need to control, as I will be at work full time and I don't have control as to what he does at home and how he manages the family. And I have to respect that because he respected me when I was at home managing the family. As far as, you know, I didn't say when's the baby napping and, you know, all those things, and check the baby monitor to make sure he's asleep. So I have to do that too. So I really appreciate your support, and, you know, just listening to that is excellent. And, you know, it was just the best. And we moved forward, and I'm going to have a successful marriage with a hetero man, even if it kills me a bit. But no, he's a wonderful person. He's a great husband, a great father, and, you know, we're going to do this together. So thank you so much.
Oh, Tom Bella. Now, would you like me to give you background on that call?
Please. Right. I need more info. I need details.
More information. So I'm going to be paraphrasing. This is not necessarily her language, but from memory it mostly is. She's essentially remarried a guy who's a bit older who already had 3 kids. So 2 teenage boys and an 8-year-old girl. Mm-hmm. And she's getting very frustrated with what she described and what I would also describe as weaponized incompetence, right? So she'd be like making lists of chores and making plans for the kids that he would then forget or he wouldn't see. And when she was going to her friends, they'd be like, oh, that's just dudes, right? That's just what men do. And of course, I wasn't having a bar of that, Tom. But I will say, so Alice Fraser and I took that call. Alice, being a much more lovely person than I, pretty much said it's time to like really communicate with him and kind of go, these are the stakes. And I was kind of going, I have the feeling she may have already done that.
Right.
And he's just not stepping up and falling back into that pattern. And it sounds like from her call then it's somewhere in the middle.
Yeah. So we should clarify, there's a new baby in the picture too, right? They've had a new baby.
Yep, yeah. Gotcha. So can we start with, or what do you hear in the call? Let's start with that.
Well, she sounds like she's at a pretty good place, or at least there has been some movement, it seems.
Yes.
Which is great.
Yes.
She I wouldn't say an over-communicator. I'd say she's very expressive and she's upfront with her communication, which is fantastic with this podcast and hopefully with her husband as well. And certainly that note at the end where she's sort of saying, look, he is a good dude. I love him. We're going to make this work, but we've been through this tricky period. I mean, I completely understand why her priority would be focused on this new baby that they have, and these new babies are exhausting. And it sounds like there are some issues with the teenage boys that potentially predate their relationship. And, you know, it sounds like, he certainly has a responsibility to sort that out if he's not addressing that anytime soon. Presumably, we don't know what it was like when he was bringing up those first 3 kids, how involved he was in the day-to-day baby rearing, but it sounds like he's about to do that as she heads back to work. Which, he has to do good at because he's responsible for keeping the baby alive. So I'd certainly hope that he's up to that task and he's on board with that, that's for sure.
And that's going to be tricky for everyone, I think. In terms of the teenage boys, and I think Alice was quite right, she basically said in a very lovely Alice Fraser kind of way, they are not your kids and not your responsibility. I mean, of course they are your responsibility to the extent that they're your stepchildren, that you're kind of bending over backward to go out of your way to plan things when they're there and make sure the meals are magnificent and we're going to do this activity and da-da-da. And then my impression is that, like, Dad even forgets that that plan's happened. So she was kind of going, just step back, you know, like it's his relationship with them. And, of course, you be nice to them and you try and develop your own kind of relationship, but you can't manage their relationship with him. And I think that's excellent advice, not just for stepkids, but also for people listening who've got exes, right? If you're dealing with, ex-husband, ex-wife, whatever, you also can't manage how they relate to your kids. You can't control it. So there's a point, unless there's abuse or neglect, there's a point at which you really have to let go. And even if that parent, for example, is disappointing, where you just have to go, well, unfortunately, the kids are going to have to be disappointed. I can't manage this. So I think Alice was right, and it sounds like that worked.
Yeah, and it would also relate to people with, partners who have messy family stuff going on. I mean,
Oh.
my partner's, family's got some complicated stuff going on. There's been some people who haven't been talking to other people for quite a long period of time. And I was trying to learn about this, which was
Yeah.
also a bit tricky because some people don't want to talk about stuff.
Yes.
And yes, I have more recently tried to be like, hey, these are all adults.
Yes.
I'm gonna love my boyfriend. I'm gonna be nice to everyone in the family, but
Yeah.
I'm actually not responsible for bringing this family together and solving this.
Well, Tom, let's go full circle back to your question to me. There's a reason I've stopped trying to fix shit, okay? Because that's my instinct. I can't stand to see people hurting each other. And then there's a point at which you go, as you said, they're all adults. This is not my fight. And I think that's really hard with stepkids, but it is also their dad has a responsibility to nurture his relationship with his sons or not. And you can't control that. So I think she's done good in that. I'm fascinated as to, I'd love her to call back and tell us how it goes, because if he's going back home, I'd like to know for how long. Like maybe there's a period of paternity leave. Is he becoming like a full-time, stay-at-home dad? I've seen
Is
a
he like a
couple of
retirement kind of
friends.
thing, maybe?
Yeah, is he? I've seen a couple of friends do this to varying degrees of success. It's hard. It's hard to let go from her side when you've been in charge, and it's hard to step into that role. I think people, I'm not suggesting he's doing this, but I think until you've been full-time caring for whatever reason, you have no idea how hard it is. Like, I would rather do a gig at the Frankston RSL. I would find that easy and have done easier than full-time caring's really hard, because there's
You
no
probably
one
did
there saying,
both. You're
well
probably
done.
full-time caring for your kids, and you had a gig booked at the fucking Frankston RSL you had to go to.
There's no feedback. There's no one there kind of go, there's very little adult conversation. There's no one there saying, oh, you've done a good job at that, or would you like help with that? Or the way we've set up society now is so shit for carers of any kind, because we're just all these isolated little bubbles. So I'll be very interested, quite frankly, and this is no shade on him, and I mean that hand on heart, but I'll be interested to see how he handles that, because it's bloody hard.
But it certainly sounds like this listener has done the thing where maybe she had already previously done that, but has communicated clearly of how important this is and how she feels about it, and how, laying out the stakes and drawing the lines of
Yes.
this particular issue, which is crucial, right? I mean, yes,
Yes.
regularly we find ourselves stewing over something or hating something or not resenting something in our relationship, and
Yes.
then thinking about it. Have you actually had the
Have you
conversation
done
and
it?
said, you expressed to the other person how you're feeling about that? It sounds like you've totally done that. So now it's
And
on her.
bloody well done to her. And I think that's where I was balking a little bit in the first time that she called in, because I don't know if you remember this joke, but I used to do this joke of like, if women wrote Hollywood rom-coms, it'd be, there'd be a woman sitting there going, can we try a couples therapy? And can we do date night? And things aren't working, and I'm feeling really misunderstood, and I don't, go into this thing. And then a year later, they break up, and then the guy goes, oh, I didn't see that coming. Right? So the idea, I balk a little bit at the idea that she needed to communicate better, because I have seen so many straight relationships where the woman is fucking communicating her ass off,
Yes.
but it's just not happening
Yes.
for whatever reason. So I'm glad that she's called back and has confirmed, yes, indeed, she is communicating, and it
Yeah.
sounds like she's drawn a line and gone, this is what's happening now. She's changing the rules, or clarifying, maybe, with his permission, by the sounds of it, consent, agreement, whatever word we want to use.
Well, but it sounds like she's drawn the line for herself as well, which is key. If previously she was like, I can fix this and it's my responsibility to fix this, now she's
Yes.
got to a point where she's like, hang on, actually, On reflection, maybe not so yes. much, then that's growth. That's good.
That's growth. And one thing I hasten to say, and I wonder, I'd love your take on this actually. I mean, I've been in relationships with all the genders,
mm-hmm.
and I will say, and seen all the relationships, I don't think I've ever been in or maybe even seen a relationship that's completely 50-50.
Mm.
Okay, so the idea that there's some like nirvana where you reach then it's complete equality at all times is not realistic in life.
Mm.
That might move around, and I think that's what you're talking about in terms of reciprocity. Like I might need you more at some points than you need me, but it's very rare that I see that that's even approaching 50-50.
Sure, yeah. Well, I mean, you know, in a cisgendered heterosexual relationship, there are some biological facts that mm. mean that there are different realities of, for example, having a child mm. and how that plays out in that relationship. Now, as much as possible, and I think I see in my brother's marriage and his relationship with his wife over their kid rearing, they do as much as possibly can to try and balance the scale somewhat.
Mm.
But the physical reality of having a baby is never, you know, is never quite going to be compensated for by even by dudes being awesome listeners and being great dads.
Mm.
So yeah, those are factors. But obviously, you try and share the load as much as you can and try and figure it out. I've only dated, yes, cisgendered gay men. And again, having never had kids, still kind of fucking around as young gay dudes, the responsibility level is never quite there.
But what do you think in terms way? Of like housework and cooking and that kind of stuff? Or is that not really been an issue?
I don't think so. I'm trying to think of a relationship when it has. I haven't lived with a partner for, apart from my current one, for a very long time. Before that, didn't live with a partner for a very long time. Yeah, money was never really an issue. So I don't know. Yeah, that's sort of something that comes up. The more serious a relationship is, the more you live together, move in
this
together.
This all awaits you.
Yes. It's can't fucking wait. Yeah.
Yeah, it's so fun. All right, so we've got a listener letter that I want your take on. I found this fascinating. Dear Nelly, I have a topic that may interest you. I listen to your podcast. They make me laugh. Yay. I have a question, yay, or comment for you. I'm a 52-year-old man in Brisbane. I want a relationship after being single for 4 or 5 years. The thing is, I just love the chase of a new relationship and I find my mind wandering as soon as one starts or shows promise. What do you think, Anonymous? Tom Ballard, what do you think about that thrill of the chase?
Very interesting.
Do you like the chase?
Well, see, I like the chase of, I would say I enjoy the chase of trying to get laid and flirting and sex. You know, meeting someone, having a nice conversation is also wonderful. But
yeah,
particularly the thing I guess I sometimes miss from single life is the idea of, yeah, going out and the possibility of meeting someone and seeing someone attractive and seeing if perhaps that person might consider kissing you. That is an exciting thrill. But I don't know. Yes, the idea of chasing a new relationship is like, that's so much work. So the fact that I have a solid relationship, I'm very happy with.
Can I say,
let's lock that in. That's great.
In that first bit, like you say that sort of, I could be misreading it, but almost apologetically, like a bit sheepishly, like, isn't it nice to go out and like someone wants to, but that's normal. I think it's taboo to admit that when you're in a couple or in a relationship, but I think it's really normal for everyone at some point to kind of go, oh, wouldn't it be nice if I was like going to that thing and there would be a possibility that I would pick up.
Yeah, or you find yourself, you might be in a happy long-term relationship with your partner and you might be out somewhere and you meet someone new and you sort of think, wow, if I was single, this great conversation we're having, I would try and pursue this and, you know,
absolutely.
This is a person who I would be interested in romantically. I'm not because I've got my nice lovely partner who I love, but, you know, a moment of that. And I think that's totally normal. And I think, and this is something that, me and my partner have sort of come up against every now and again, not feeling guilty about that and acknowledging that as a natural reality of being a human being is important, because otherwise people feel ashamed and resentful and they think your interest in or attraction to another person in a moment is indicative of you not liking them as much.
Not liking them. And I think you can have that feeling without, you can have thoughts without saying them out loud.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, again, going back to actions over thoughts. If you go out tonight and you meet someone and you're like, oh my God, if I could, I'd take them home and da da da. I'm like, A, really normal. But what do you do? The only problem is if you take him home. And I would say, I mean, I don't know, this depends on your personality, but does Harley even need to know that? You know, it's a thought.
Yes. Yeah, yeah, totally.
It's not something you did. What do you think about, like, if this guy knows this about himself?
Mm.
So every time he is getting, he's starting something, he's basically getting bored relatively quickly is the way I read it, and starting to, his eyes are starting to wander. My view personally, and I'd like to know what you think, is if you are 52, I reckon that's unlikely to change, right? You are who you are. You're potenched. Know thyself and go in honest and actually look for short-term relationships. The only time that's a problem is when you're promising something you can't deliver. So if you are actually one of those guys on Tinder or Hinge or wherever you are going, I'm looking for a long-term romantic thing and I'm monogamous and I'm very loyal and all the stuff that people say, if you're lying, that's when you're going to hurt people.
Yeah.
If you go in going, I'm actually looking for friends with benefits or, I don't know, polyamory or like whatever it is, whatever, however that looks for you, that you don't want to be in a monogamous long-term commitment, own that shit.
Yeah, well, this is it. I mean, he has to go back to the desire. Like he writes, I want a relationship after being single for four or 5 years.
Does he though?
Okay. Well, yeah, were you single? What has changed in you that you want to change your single lifestyle now? So you say you want a relationship. Now, is that because you want a partner to share your life with? You want an emotional connection? And yeah, you want something long-term. Like examine that desire.
Mm.
And then, as you say, totally be upfront and bring that into the dating world. I mean, it's sort of hard to read between the lines here. Do you love the chase of a new relationship, or do you, find yourself wanting to have sex with lots of different casual sex with lots of different people? It's all good, no judgment either way. But you seem to be placing yourself in a difficult position where you're laying out your supposed desire for a relationship, which we automatically assume is a monogamous relationship. That's just our sort of social default. And then yet you seem to be running into trouble and moving away. Now they could, if you wanted to go deeper and get some therapy, and my advice to everyone is always do some therapy, but you might also be finding, maybe you're sabotaging relationships or getting out really quickly because you're scared about where they would go. It's a common reaction.
That's exactly right.
It shows some promise. Here we go. Oh, I might get hurt here or whatever. I'm getting out and I'm going
to find something wrong. Find that. Yes. And I reckon there's one of two things happening here. One is that he, like you said, the default, and by my language for that is the script we are given, the social script we are given, is that you should want a long-term monogamous relationship.
Yes.
The reality of human beings is that many people are not suited to that.
Yes.
And if you are one of those people, fuck the script. You're 52 years old. You don't need someone else's script.
Yep.
So actually look at yourself as honestly as you can and go, maybe I'm not built for this.
Mm.
You know, maybe you need to be on the more progressive sites like Field, or I can't remember the name of the other one. Anyway, you'll be able to find them. There's a kink site that has a range of, open relationships or friends with benefits, or it's a bit more like Grindr in that it's more direct.
Mm.
Right. So you can literally go, I want to see someone once a week for a head job. Like you could be that specific. Or you could be more broad and kind of go, look, I'm not really a monogamy kind of person. And maybe you end up hooking up. I think this guy's straight. I don't know why I think that, but I think from our interaction, maybe you end up, I can tell you there are married women on those sites looking for who have friends with benefits permission. Maybe that's your thing. And maybe you're just internalizing some shame about that because it's not the kind of thing that you can sit at Christmas dinner and go, oh my God, I've got three on the go. It's amazing. But maybe that's your thing. Maybe you need that new relationship energy. Maybe you need the chase. And don't apologize for that, but also don't lie about it. Where you're going to fuck
Yes.
people over is if you
Yes.
go in pretending that you're bloody Mr. Romantic
Yep.
and you bail 4 months down the track, you're going to hurt people.
Yeah. Yeah, I think
But
that's, yeah,
sorry,
that's
you
where this
go.
is. No, sorry. Yeah, that's where, yes, a selfish attitude to this or trying to get away with something and not being fully upfront, I think that is the problem. And hopefully we live in somewhat more enlightened times in which, more people are a lot more open to you being honest about where you're coming from, and they might say, no judgment, that's not for me. I'm looking for a monogamous relationship. Good luck to you. But if you don't tell them that, then I think that's when you're going to start hurting people and it's not going to work out great for you either. I
And
mean,
that's why I say I think on, I mean, give it a go, but I think on your Tinders and your Hinges, like I know, for example, I've got a friend, and obviously I won't reveal too much information, but who's a married straight man in an open relationship. He finds it really hard to find women who are prepared to have sex with him compared to his wife, because there is a lot of straight women who won't engage with a married man. But I think that's why I suggest maybe going to the kink sites, because you're likely to find a community that's more open to that and women who are more open to that. But I think you're right, Tom. The other option, column B, is that if you really do want a relationship and you're sabotaging it every time it gets good, therapy, 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 therapy. Because I don't know about you, Tom, but I've done that. Right? When you start to get to that thing of, oh, this could actually work. I don't want to get hurt. So then you start going, oh, I don't like that t-shirt. Oh my God, they're not, like you'll find, humans will find any reason to then sabotage it. And was it really the t-shirt, or were you starting to feel vulnerable? So, but I think it could be either of those.
Yeah, Anon will have a better idea of
Anon
which
will
one of
have a
those
better
artists to speak
idea.
to him, but yes, good luck
Also,
to yourself.
maybe, I mean, best case scenario, maybe you will be able to be in a relationship where something as simple as, so we had Renee Thompson on, and she was taught, she's in an open relationship with her partner, and she was saying the gist I got was her kind of going, look, even just to have a pash is enough. Because it's like having the permission to be able to flirt and have a kiss. And it doesn't mean that you're necessarily fucking around. It doesn't mean that you've got a whole other relationship on the go. It's about being able to express that sort of flirtatious side of you. You might find someone that's okay with that. Particularly at this age. I reckon actually, ironically, given we're older and you're meant to get more conservative, if you've been through divorce, I think you actually naturally start ripping up those scripts and go, actually, maybe things can be done differently. Good luck. Let us know. Right, we're going to end as we do with all sloppy seconds on big mistake. So this is the biggest mistake you, beautiful Tom Ballard, see or have experienced in dating and relationships.
I thought about this. I'm pretty sure the biggest one would be one that I've been guilty of, and I see in my friends over the years, is people staying or starting or getting into relationships because they want to be in a relationship rather than finding a deep connection or finding something that really works with another human being. I think there was a relationship that I stayed in for a lot longer. Nothing wrong with this guy. Lovely person. Very nice. I wasn't feeling it. I probably my fear of doing the breaking up was a factor as well, but also just like, no, I want to be in a relationship. I want to have a boyfriend. I like what that says about me. I want to be normal like everybody else. I want this to go on. But of course, that is not good for you. It's not good for them. It's not good for anybody.
How many people have you seen in your own life, but also even if we want to depersonalize it, extrapolate out to like reality shows and whatever, who are literally getting married because they want to say, I have a wife,
Yes.
or I have a husband, or I am a wife, or I
Or
am a husband.
I'm a certain age now. It's time to
Yes.
do it.
Yes. There's a cultural capital in being part of a couple, even being that, have you got a plus one? Or are you coming to the dinner party on your own? obviously what we're really trying to do on this podcast is rip all that shit up and go, you go to the movies on your own. You fucking go to Phuket by yourself. You do like whatever it is, but that is still there. And I agree with you. It's really hard to separate that out from, do I really like this person or do I like being known as someone who's in a couple or a successful marriage?
I
It
mean, the whole
doesn't
fucking show,
work.
Married at First Sight. There's like attractive young people in their late 20s who are like, I just, my only
I've got
option is
to.
to go and marry at first. Now, obviously, that's all bullshit. That's people trying to start their own media careers at this point. But clearly, the premise and the early versions, seasons of that show were clearly people being like, I have to get married. That's, and I will take my chances on this stupid reality show, marrying a complete stranger because I've got to get a ring on it. It's like, what are
Or
you?
I will go close enough. And this is not, we're not talking, no one's perfect. You're never going to find a partner who ticks literally every, criteria. But also settling, I mean, if we're talking percentages, settling for, well, they're 50% of what I want. I promise you will be in court at some point, or having the breakup conversation, or having to talk to your kids, or whatever it is. I promise you that's not enough. No one's 100, but you don't want to settle because you're 32 and everyone at Christmas lunch is saying, why aren't you married? Or, and not even that also applies to same-sex relationships. And I think that there is a unspoken thing, maybe there is some trauma in queer community of having been, many of us have experienced family rejection and other kinds of rejection. And there's something unconscious in the back of your brain going, well, at least if I'm in a long-term couple, they'll see that I'm normal. You're like, well, there's nothing normal about being with someone you don't like. I mean, actually there is, but you know what I mean? Like it should be. You don't have to prove yourself.
Of course, gays are entering into miserable marriages just like straights now. It's
But
a
right,
beautiful world of equality that we're in.
isn't that true though? Right? And you and I have both seen that. I'm sure where you kind of go, fuck, I think you two don't want to break up because you don't want your homophobic family to be proven right. Or you don't want the colleagues who were assholes to you or the friends or whatever go, see, I told you so. That's what happens to the gays, whether that's conscious or not. And so you stay and you're like, but you're in a shit couple. You're not happy. You're not David and Patrick. You're Bette and Tina, then mental. I love that one. You're right. So basically, the biggest mistake is staying for the status or the label rather than the reality.
Yeah, because you view being single as some kind of failure. And I've always maintained that one has to be happy. You have to be able to be happy single. Like that's crucial. I mean, we know serial monogamists in our lives.
Punch.
Yes, and it's like you have to be able to be happy without another person in as a romantic couple, a romantic partner. Obviously, having an amazing partner and a healthy relationship is a beautiful part of the human experience and can be great, but it's not always going to happen. If you base your happiness solely on your involvement in that relationship, well, of course, that's probably going to lead you to entering something that doesn't actually make you that happy, but thinks is something that you think will give you the status you're after, you know?
Absolutely, and that you will look past your own needs to maintain. Yeah, I love it. Now tell me, where can we come and see you next? I know you're doing the Melbourne International Comedy Festival, but we also have listeners, well, we have listeners all over the world, but certainly in Australia. So where can we find you? And I'll put links to all this in the show notes.
Oh, that's so nice. Yes, my 2024 show is called Good Point Well Made. I'm heading all over the shop. I'm heading to Cairns in far north Queensland. I'm heading to Adelaide, Canberra, Tasmania, Melbourne, Perth, and Sydney. All the details are at comedy.com.au. If you have a look at my socials at Tom C. Ballard, you can come see me. Brand new show all over the place. And people can hear my podcast, Serious Danger, which I release every week with my good friend Emerald Moon. It's about the Greens and green politics in Australia. But hopefully, without being annoying, people might enjoy having a listen to that.
Fantastic. Well, I will put links to comedy.com.au in the show notes so we can find you touring. I will, of course, be coming to see you in Melbourne at the Melbourne International Comedy Festival. So I hope everyone else in Melbourne will do the same. But you're really getting all around the country so everyone can come and see you, and links to Serious Danger as well.
Thanks, Nellie.
You're a joy, Tom Ballard.
It's been an honor being your sloppy seconds.
Will you come back for thirsty thirds?
Oh my god. Sure.
I'm taking that as a yes.
Yes, yes, please.
Yes, you're a beautiful man. I will talk to you soon.
Thanks, mate. Bye.
Thanks, Tom. Bye.
Dear Nelly, I could use some advice, dear Nelly. Yeah, some help would be nice, dear Nelly. I'm eager to hear your point of view, dear Nelly. There's a lot to explore, dear Nelly. When you're 40 or more, dear Nelly. So I'm hoping we can talk it through.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.